to In Plain Sight. Jeremy in Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate, send the fundage that you know you need to send to keep free speech alive. We have the book of the week. It's going to be extended to January 22nd. And as I'm pulling up my prep right now, I'll tell you what that book is. And there's probably a drum roll somewhere in here. The book is, let's see, where are we at? You can edit that out.
I'm not editing anything out.
Well, while I'm looking for the book of the week, I would like to introduce my illustrious Tuesday co-host, Dr. Patrick Slattery. Welcome, Patrick. How's it going for you?
It's going fine. It's going fine. And I'm not at all grumpy.
Good. Is it cold in Burbank?
It's wet, damp. It's cold and it's damp, just like in the Ella Fitzgerald song when she's singing about California. She hates California because it's cold and it's damp. And that's why the lady is a tramp.
Of course. Well, so the reason that I didn't have Book of the Month in the prep is because Julie sent it to me last night and had to pull up her text. America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotation by William J. Federer. William J. Federer. That's the book of the week. For every $100 you donate, you can tell RBN that you want to be in the drawing. And if you don't win the book this week, you're still in the drawing through the 22nd of January. So, Patrick, we have a lot going on and such little time to prep. The biggest part of my prep was listening to RBN all day on my headsets while I painted. That's always the best way to prep, I think, as well as some of the great shows, you know, David Duke and all that. Heard you and Cato today. That was a good show. I think two of the things maybe at the top of the list, and I just pulled this one up. I heard Fetzer mention it, which is what turned me on to looking for it. Secret tunnels in New York. Orthodox Jewish synagogue. Have you looked into this?
Yes, I have. I've watched video. It's very, very odd. That's all I can say. Very odd.
So to set this up, I guess someone was noticing the NYPD pouring concrete down these tunnels, and this connected to this Jewish temple, and the temple's closed. People ended up getting videos, of course, because everybody has a sophisticated camera and video recorder in their pockets now that they talk on and get on Facebook on and X. And so a lot of this stuff has made it into at least the alternative media. Stormer picked it up and he was quoting the Metro. It says chaotic scenes erupted at a synagogue in New York on Monday when a group of young Orthodox Jewish men attempted to stop construction workers from filling in a secret network of underground tunnels. Wow. So there's something, Orthodox Jewish men trying to stop the filling of the tunnels. I won't try to speculate on why they would be stopping them. It says that they were a group of Chabad Lubavitch students in their teens and early 20s. They gathered at the building Monday afternoon and attempted to protect the hidden passageways. So were they protecting it because they wanted to expose it, or were they protecting it because they wanted to use it in the future? That's the question. And what were the tunnels used for? Another big question. And in this age of disinformation, it's really hard to fish through all of this. Do you have a take on it while I'm still browsing the article?
Okay. Yeah, browse the article, because I saw it through Telegram. Who's the guy who does the Red Elephants? I want to say James something. Who's the guy who does Red Elephants? At any rate, I could tell you. I could tell you, but I don't want to mess up the recording.
No, go ahead. I'll look it up while you filibuster.
I'm going to look it up right here. It's Vincent James. Vincent James. Okay. I was seeing it through his Telegram channel, and there were a lot of videos. But, you know, some of the people were saying very confusing things. It wasn't clear whether the Chabad Lubavitchers were doing their riot because they wanted to cement the tunnels or they didn't want to. I saw contradictory stuff. So I'm not going to comment much on that, but what you saw in the videos was a small number of police had come, and there was a large number of Chabad Lubavitch men, mostly young men, but there were some older men, and there was quite a lot of commotion. And the at one point, and they were in what I think is a large study room, large study slash prayer room. And in one of the videos, you saw a guy in what I will describe as the Juniform, because it's like their uniform, where they're wearing the broad brimmed black hat, and they've got the white shirt that's not tucked in. They've got a black jacket over it, and they've got black pants, and they've got the strings on their belt and whatnot. Okay, and we'll just call that the Juniform. Okay. And so the young guy in a Juniform had a big, what do you call it, crowbar. And he's trying to rip paneling off of the wall. And then he gets pushed away by cops. And then at one point, there's like maybe there's several dozen Jewish men, several dozen, perhaps over 100. And they pick up a giant bench. And they're pushing the bench over the tables. They're trying to disrupt the cops. The cops were few in number and diverse, including, like, there was a woman cop there. And they were, and you know, the Jews were very agitated. They weren't particularly violent, but they were agitated, and they were trying to interfere with what the cops were doing. And then there was one video of a young Jewish guy emerging from a grate in the sidewalk. Like, really, it doesn't do well for the whole rat meme, right? But he's emerging from, like, it looks like from the sewers, coming up.
Whoa. Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks.
It's not me who's being the anti. I'm not doing the anti-Semitic memes. Okay, the Jews themselves were being anti-Semitic memes. They were living the anti-Semitic memes. So you had this Jew emerge from a grate in the sidewalk. Looks like he's coming up from the sewers, hat first, and then he runs off into the darkness. There was another where you had a non-Jewish policeman, about 30 years old. Young, kind of big, and, you know, looked muscular, and he may have been Italian in origin, and he was saying in a distinct New York accent, "We don't do this in America." Now, the Chabad Lubavitchers in Brooklyn often have Yiddish as their first language, and maybe speaking English with something of a foreign accent. So he was. And maybe the policeman will be reprimanded for this, but he was saying, this is not how we do it in America, as if these people were from another country. And often many of them, they may be from other countries. They may be from Ukraine or whatnot. But there was something going on. It had to do with tunnels. They were bringing people that big room where they ripped the paneling off the walls, and it was the Jews ripping the paneling off the walls. The cops were bringing people out of the tunnel. The people coming out of the tunnel were all smiles, and the dozens and dozens of Jews were singing and clapping and cheering as these men were being led away. So the whole thing is very bizarre. The Jewish group behavior, the in real life, in person Jewish group behavior, was very bizarre. And so that's what I have on it. What do you have on it now, having looked a little bit more deeply into the articles?
10 people were arrested. It's kind of a low number, considering what the video has described. And so it's not like there's police tape around the thing and investigators and forensic scientists going down there and coming out.
There was police tape. I'm almost sure that I saw police tape. It was just being trampled on the ground. It's like the police tape had been set up, but it was getting trampled on the ground.
I'm trying to ascertain if the police were trying to hide this without an investigation,
mm-hmm.
before an investigation could ensue, which means whatever's going on in the tunnels, the police are on the payroll, which isn't surprising.
Yeah, I so can see that.
Yeah, I think it's safe to assess that. Now, bloody child-sized mattresses, that's what's really disturbing. And, of course, only speculation, they could have sacrificed an animal on the things, you know. While we know of the alleged behavior and oftentimes confirmed behavior of some of these Jewish groups and the history of, you know, capturing non-Jewish children and torturing them. I mean, that's been a thing in the past. I guess I'm not going to just jump there automatically, you know, so, but it is just bizarre, especially in light. And the first thing I thought of were the tunnels under and Pizzagate, you know, the whole theory on Pizzagate. And it's not sounding that far-fetched now, especially if, you know, Pizzagate happened in D.C., right, where all of that's very well controlled and protected. And, I mean, D.C. is pretty much its own country. You know, you're going into a place with its own set of rules and laws.
I mean, D.C., the District of Columbia is the District of Columbia. It's not one of the states. But a lot of people say all these weird things about the District of Columbia based on the 1871 Act that just reorganized the municipalities within the District of Columbia. And when you hear people talking about the United States is a corporation, this is what they're referring to, and it's a massive misunderstanding. But yeah, the District of Columbia, it's not under British maritime law or anything like that. It's kind of like another state. Except it didn't have its own lawmaking ability for many years because it was full of blacks. Honestly, they didn't have home rule between the mid 1800s up until the 1970s, and then they got home rule.
What I meant was, you look at the treatment of the January 6th protesters, that whole thing just seems bizarre, you know, that they were able to arrest people that were just walking in the Capitol, and then they pinged the cell phones of everybody that was even just there that didn't walk in the Capitols. And I'm hearing reports that FBI have been visiting people that were just there. I got that firsthand testimony from one of my building contractors that I paint for. He said one of his friends that went there was visited. Now, he wasn't arrested, but he was visited. They knew he was there from the cell phone. That's bizarre. You know, to which I replied, well, I'm sure using AI, you know, the criminal justice department combed through all of his social media. And if there was anything at all that was racist or anti-Semitic, I'm sure they would have pounced.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't get arrested for things that you post because of my First Amendment, but you get arrested for stupid things like trespassing and, you know, destruction of property, things like that. And they'll go after you on stupid things based on what you post. You become a target. And so I would think it's safe to assume that everybody that went to January 6th is a target now, whether they went in the building or not. And that's firsthand testimony that I got.
I think the vast majority of the people who went into the Capitol actually have a very good case against trespassing. Because typically you can walk on the Capitol grounds on a normal day. Including January 6th, when they're counting electoral votes, you can walk into the Capitol. You can typically do all of these things. The only reason that you couldn't go into the Capitol that day was because Nancy Pelosi decided that the coronavirus might kill everybody. And so it was a coronavirus measure that you had to do social distancing. But
they could still make the trespassing stick. Go ahead.
Well, if you're a person and you walk up to the Capitol grounds, which normally you can walk on the lawn, there's normally no problem walking on the lawn. That day in the morning, they had set up in the entryways. Okay, and it's surrounded by a wall that's about 18 inches high. You know, so it's a type of wall that a little kid is going to walk along. A little kid would walk along it. It's about 18 inches high. And then there are gaps in the wall where you have cement, you know, concrete walkways towards the steps of the Capitol. And on that particular day, they had barricaded those steps. But those barricades were run over and removed in the midst of struggle and conflict between a small number of demonstrators and police. So for most people, when they walked up there, they would not have seen the barriers, because the barriers would have already been removed, you know, either by police or by demonstrators, but they wouldn't have been there. And then when they walked up to the, if they were coming from the backside, the side of that is close to the White House, if they walked up those steps and they got to the doors of the Capitol, they would have seen policemen saying, come on in. So I think somebody in that circumstance would have a very good case against trespassing. I wasn't trespassing. Normally, you can walk inside. I had no reason to think that this was anything other than a normal day where you can walk on the lawn and you can walk inside the Capitol.
I know from COVID, with COVID measures, pretty much anywhere in the United States, if there was a business that posted that you had to wear a mask and you went in without one, they would ask you to leave. If you didn't leave, they could have you arrested for trespassing, and that happened. That's where I was going with the trespassing sticks. But plus, like I mentioned, you know, DC kind of has its own thing, and the January 6th protesters were pretty much just treated like terrorists. And of course, that was under the, you know, the post 9/11 Act, thanks to Bush the Younger, Patriot Act, right?
Yeah,
where ordinary citizens can be treated like terrorists and not given due process and be held without charges or trial.
Yeah.
Just based on the fact that they're declared terrorists. So, I mean, they can get away with whatever they want, but what I'm saying is, I think the case I was making is they can get away with even more, even better in DC, mm-hmm. better than they would in any other federal building across the United States. But that, we got off on a little tangent. I don't think Pizzagate is beyond the pale. I personally think it's a thing, but I don't want to get too much into that. Back to the Jewish tunnels. All right. There's a huge cover-up going on there. There has to be. Why would you not? I mean, why would the NYPD be filling those in? You know, that there's something being covered up there. Something shady was going on in the tunnels. And I would just assume that the Chabad Lubavitchers that were trying to stop it maybe were still wanting access to that.
So,
and they weren't in on it. Or they weren't in on the whole cover-up.
I don't know exactly what's going on here. So right now I'm going to read a sentence from Alan Knutson, who sends out like email blasts. And he's somebody who's, well, okay, he's just reporting what is being said on Twitter and whatnot.
And I'm alone. Skin, yeah,
begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge. And I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for a private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Exactly what's going on here. So right now I'm going to read a sentence from Alan Knutson, who sends out like email blasts, and he's somebody who's, well, okay, he's just reporting what is being said on Twitter and whatnot. And he says, currently numerous law enforcement are at the scene of a riot at the Chabad headquarters in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, where individuals tore wooden panels to prevent a cement truck from sealing off the recently discovered tunnels. Now, this doesn't really make sense. How does tearing wooden panels off of a wall and exposing the tunnels, how does that prevent cement trucks from sealing off the tunnels? See, the reports that are going around don't actually make sense. Tearing off wooden panels prevents a cement truck from sealing off the tunnels? How does that that doesn't make sense. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is there are these tunnels, and there are a whole bunch of very, very agitated Jews, and there were Jews in the tunnels. Why are there these tunnels? You know, and so you'll see, well, the tunnels were an attempt to expand the synagogue, really expand the synagogue into tunnels. Okay, so there's weird stuff going on. Why do these Jews need tunnels? I don't know. You know, that, like, it's not like Gaza, where it's not as if Manhattan or New Jersey is bombing Brooklyn. They're not bombing Brooklyn, so you don't need these tunnels as air raid shelters. The way every building in Gaza needs tunnels. They need tunnels there. Why do the Chabad Lubavitchers need tunnels? What are they
another
doing? There were another in the tunnels. What are they doing there? What do they need there?
Another question is, were the NYPD filling the tunnels, or have, you know, ordering the tunnels to be filled with Jews still in them? Did they know Jews were still in the tunnels? That's a bizarre thing. I would assume they didn't know that people were still down there. But again, it's hard to assume anything in this crazy story.
Well, and then the other thing is, if you pour a bunch of cement down these tunnels, you seal them up, are you destroying evidence?
Well, yeah, that's the immediate thing. But I'm saying that they would have trapped, like that one Jew that crawled out through the grate, he would have been trapped in there. if they had successfully filled in everything before he could get out.
Yeah. So at any rate, it's very odd. It's very strange. I don't have any set theory about this. I'd like to get more information to comment on it. But here's one thing I will say. And when you watch these videos, I think it's clear that the Chabad Lubavitchers, the people in America, and probably people in Israel, who are attracted to this kind of lifestyle of reading the Torah and the Talmud all day long and having lots of babies, they don't, for the most part, they're not getting rich. These people often are living off welfare. They're really not the best and the brightest. They do have a lot of babies. They have lots of babies. And they do get support from the rest of the Jewish community, because the rest of the Jewish community doesn't have a lot of babies. These people do have a lot of babies. But these people aren't running. This isn't Jew Central. They're not running the show. They're not ordering Secretary of State Blinken to do such and such. And they're not giving orders to anybody. They are getting support. They do get money from the rest. They're kind of parasitic. But if you looked at Jews as a body, right, the Chabad Lubavitchers are definitely not the brain. They're not the brain.
They're the reproductive organ, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the genitalia. That's what they are.
Again, with the anti-Semitic remarks, man,
they're not the brain. And they're not the muscle.
But Wall Street type Jews would be supporting them. And if the NYPD was paid to cover this up, it would have been, financially supported by Wall Street types or CEO types. Here's another thing that I noticed in the article. The Stormer article mentioned it, that these tunnels are new, like they're post-COVID. Because the theory, I guess, was going to be floated that, well, they were to escape COVID, but these were post-COVID. Which you could still try to make that case if you were defending these tunnels and say they're getting ready for another outbreak. Still all very bizarre. Before we get off of this, I do want to mention the timing of this. This is on the heels of the Epstein list being released. That's kind of interesting. Also, it's amidst all of this anger at Israel from the left over the genocide of Palestinian children and people in general. I'm just pointing out the timing. I'm not trying to build some kind of an elaborate theory on it.
No. And if it turns out that something nefarious was going on in these tunnels, then especially with the timing of Epstein and the mass slaughter of babies in Gaza, it's going to be really, really bad. This is the last thing that... There's no one taking your place
since you've been gone. I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Go to RepublicBroadcasting.org, smash that donate button,
like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis. So
even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Memory, your landline is burning holes. Recover the damage. Bring it all home. Follow the blues, just like a summer song. Instead of
especially with the timing of Epstein and the mass slaughter of babies in Gaza, this is going to be really, really bad. This is the last thing that they need is would be for something like this to happen. And now, I'm not saying it's this same people, the Chabad Lubavitchers at this temple, but there were ultra-Orthodox. Now, Chabad Lubavitchers are Ashkenazi. There were some ultra-Orthodox in Jersey City about 8 years ago or so. They didn't follow the Ashkenazi religious services. They followed the Sephardic religious services. But there were these, they were kind of like Moroccan Orthodox Jews from Jersey City that were implicated in organ harvesting and organ trafficking and in bribing, I think, the mayor of Jersey City and Hoboken. So it was a big scandal, and it's official. It was pub. This isn't conspiracy theory stuff. This is stuff that you had people who were indicted and sent to prison.
And these would be poorer Jews still on welfare, like the
Orthodox don't typically have high incomes. There are some who are engaged in criminal activities who might get a lot of money. Some of them have money, but on average, these people that dress in the uniforms, on average, they don't have a lot of money. That's not their role.
And there's gold in them that are kidneys.
There's gold. They have a lot of children, and some of the bulk of the children probably stay within the community, but some of them leave the community and go on and enter hedge funds or, academia or politics. You see these people who are, from time to time, who are the children of Orthodox Jews, and they're doing something else.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, speaking of the Epstein list, I was on the edge of my seat on Monday when you and Collett were about to talk about why Stephen Hawking's, what his preferences were.
Yeah, I kept you on the seat for a while, didn't I?
I really wanted to hear Mark say it. Maybe you can get him to come back on and say it in his English accent. I think that would be fascinating. But I thought you were going to say that Hawkins wanted to see midgets naked on each other's shoulders doing equations. That's where I thought you were going.
No, jumping up and down, not able to reach the blackboard. I know. It's a tragedy that recording got lost. But Skype has been, I don't know. I might have to find an alternative to Skype somehow, because it has not been reliable.
I'm keeping an eye on the recording. It's still going. But when you call me and you record, it works. If I call you and you record, it goes off. That's the data that I've collected.
I mean, since I've been recording on Skype, which has been going on at least 3 years, maybe 4 years, it's been more than 99% effective. It's like a coronavirus vaccine. It's often effective. It's often safe and effective. No, actually, now it's becoming like a corona vaccine, which is sometimes safe and effective.
Well, yeah, Skype is a fickle bitch. We breached the topic of January 6th. I do. If you don't have any more on the bloody tunnels, let's get on to this one. Six fugitives caught in Florida. January 6th fugitives.
Want to get onto that one next? Okay, we'll go for it. I don't know about that.
Yeah, what else do you have though before we move?
I mean, there's the Lloyd Austin stuff.
Yeah, we could do Lloyd Austin.
Which is weird.
Put that January 6th on the shelf, and let's talk about our favorite Planet of the Apes general.
Yeah, so this guy. I think if we do that Planet of the Apes general on my show, by that time it, we might get news cucked. This recording is going out within a matter of hours. We're less likely to get news cucked.
Okay, so this guy disappears. The rumors were that he was in Kiev and that Russia bombed whatever facility he was in, and he was killed. That's the rumor. But now CNN Politics, and this was uploaded at 5:25 Eastern Time, January 9th, that's today. All right, this is saying that he's been diagnosed with cancer, prostate cancer. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin treated for prostate cancer. And it says he suffered complications that led him to be taken to hospital on New Year's Day, where he is still being treated, according to a statement from Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. The statement revealed that the cancer was discovered in early December. He underwent a minimally invasive surgical procedure on December 22nd, a prostatectomy to treat the cancer. He was under general anesthesia during the procedure. Austin recovered uneventfully from his surgery and went home the next morning. His cancer was detected early and his prognosis excellent. On January 1st, Austin was readmitted to the hospital due to complications, nausea, severe abdominal pain, and hip and leg pain. He was found to have a urinary tract infection. Well, this guy can catch a break. And the Pentagon had been facing intense questions after it was revealed Friday that he had been admitted to Walter Reed on January 1st. He had been hospitalized for days without notifying the public. It was subsequently reported that President Joe Brandon, the defecator-in-chief, that's my addition, senior national security officials, and even Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks, that's the person who had assumed Austin's duties, that they were not aware of the defense secretary's hospitalization until 3 days after he was admitted. Now, as a military man, that's ludicrous, and Fetzer picked up on this too. You don't just leave a massive hole in the chain of command like that. You know, you people are going to be notified the very minute that this guy's taken in the hospital. So that's bizarre. You don't go 3 days without a Secretary of Defense.
So was the Secretary of Defense AWOL? Well, of course, he's yeah. not formed anymore, so maybe AWOL doesn't apply, but still.
Absent without leave. That's what the CNN article is telling me. Tuesday, Pentagon said that Austin had kept the reason for his hospitalization a secret, not just from senior figures at the Pentagon, but from Biden himself. Well, we don't care. Biden doesn't know hardly anything, so that doesn't even matter. But the fact is that all of the people in his chain of command would have known this under normal military procedure. Right? It doesn't matter, especially the higher ranking you are. Yeah, that's major. So then now questions have been raised about the transparency and the communications within the administration. Well, there's always been that. Oh, we've always had questions about the transparency of it. National security spokesman Kirby said on Tuesday that Biden only learned Tuesday morning. Nobody cares. Biden doesn't know where he defecated last hours before it was disclosed. Previously, Pentagon spokesman General Ryder told the reporters on Monday that the White House was also not notified of Austin's December 22nd procedure. Nobody in the White House knew, is the next section of the article. It goes on and on. Let me see if there's anything else important here. CNN is sort of acting like they're exposing this, but I feel like they're maybe trying to play cover up too. It's not optimal. Kirby says that it's not optimal for a situation like this to go on as long as it did without the commander in chief knowing about it. Well, look, let's take this at face value. There's a lot of incompetency amongst the puppets that are in our government. And I think they're all puppets to some degree because they're all paid off. I mean, they kowtow to AIPAC, wealthy Jewish and even non-Jewish CEOs and hedge fund guys that pay these people. There's definitely an agenda. There's a reason they act like they do. And if they get competent people to put into place, you're going to get a Putin situation, right? If you want someone to follow orders and not push back and not rock the boat, you're going to tend to get less competent people, maybe lower IQ. So there is that. We could just be looking at a very, very high level of incompetence, and this guy just breached major military procedure. What do you think?
Yeah, it depends. Regarding the issue you're talking about with puppets, right? So you got somebody like Joe Biden, who wanted to become president. Lots of people want to be presidents. And, Biden is a complete joke. He's always been a joke. There's a real funny scene from one of the early debates in 2008. Actually, it's probably in 2007, but it's before the 2008 election. That's the one that Obama won. But Joe Biden had run in that election. He didn't do well. In that election, you had the top tier candidates were Obama, Hillary, and a Senator John Edwards. I couldn't remember his name on a earlier show, but John Edwards, he was a senator from North Carolina who had also run in 2004 and done reasonably well. So those were the top tier candidates. Then you had you had Bill Richardson, who was also running. He's somebody who was exposed in the Epstein thing. He's actually been implicated with Epstein going back for years. He was a former governor of New Mexico. He was a former Secretary of Energy. So I was talking about him on a recent show. And you also had this guy, former Senator Mike Gravel, who was a one-term senator from Alaska in the 1970s. But he came back to, I think it was one term, maybe it was two terms. I think it was only one term. He was actually the guy who had ended the draft through some sort of legislative trickery. But he ended the draft. He was a pretty important person in the early 70s in winding down the Vietnam War. And there's this very, very funny scene where he was running. He was already a grumpy old man by 2008. And he was complaining about all the other people on the stage. He was talking about the top tier candidates, how corrupt they are. And then he just looked over at Joe Biden and says, "Yeah, and I'll throw you in with the top tier just because you're so smug." It was really funny because he wasn't top tier, but he was smug.
It's a wonder that Brandon didn't call him a dog-faced pony soldier and tell him to step outside for a few rounds behind the schoolhouse.
Brandon, who wasn't as old then, he was in his 60s, but he was just smiling. I think he was complimented to be thrown into the first tier because he had no support, and of course he won no delegates. He dropped out before the primaries, or I guess he dropped out right after the New Hampshire primary. He won no delegates. But at any rate, so yeah, he is pretty much a poster child for a puppet. I mean, he's a poster child. If you're going to go to the puppet show on when you're a little kid, yeah, he's out there. He's there. If you ever watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and he'd bring out King. What was the King? King Tuesday or King Friday? And he had the little bear, and then there was Joe Biden there too. He was one of the puppets. So that's Joe Biden. Now, if you're a puppet puller, okay, there's some people that you're going to bribe or some people that whose strings you're going to pull. But then there's other people who are going to be your agents, who are in there because they're team players. And you look at how many Jews are in the top positions. Now, so people like Blinken or Victoria Nuland or Alejandro Mayorkas or Garland, they're not there because they're pliant puppets. They're there because they're team players. They're there. I think they have an awful lot of agency. So what about somebody like Lloyd Austin? I think Lloyd Austin was put in. I don't know if there's somebody in Jew Central in that tunnel underneath the Chabad Lubavitch Center who's sending out memos to Lloyd Austin telling him what to do. I think they put him in. He doesn't seem to be that much in the loop with the Ukraine stuff. We'll see. I think he was put in there because he would be he would really try. He would make legitimate efforts to kick normal heterosexual Southern white men out of the military. I think, you know, that's his role. That's what he's been doing. There were reports that, oh, he got killed in Ukraine. And, you know, it would be very embarrassing. What would they do if Lloyd Austin had been on an unannounced mission to Ukraine? He has visited Ukraine from time to time during this. You know, these have usually been announced missions. What if he had gone there unannounced and wound up being killed? What would they do? They would be scrambling. Maybe they would try to set it up so that, oh, no, he just went into the hospital for a minor procedure. Oh, actually, there's complications. Oh, actually, he died from complications from elective procedure. Okay, that would be something. Now, if he resurfaces, they're having somebody in a Mission Impossible mask who's going to take his
Patrick.
Yes.
Body double. Come on, bro. Body double. Let's get on board. Not gonna do it.
But
not even a clone. They didn't clone him.
No, not Sleeper. That takes too long. If you saw the movie Sleeper with Woody Allen 50 years ago, they managed to save the leader's nose, and they were going to clone the leader from his nose.
That was a
pretty movie.
In defense of some of Dr. Fetzer's theories, respect to Fetzer, by the way.
Oh, respect. You know, I am a big fan of the Fetzer show.
If someone has been in politics for decades and decades, it would be possible to have at least a few body doubles of them. I'm not saying clones. That could be, but more likely with, you know, plastic surgery and all of the innovations in medical procedures we have now, someone could have formed a body double a couple of decades ago. That's not beyond the pale.
Planet of the Apes guy, though. I mean, he wasn't that big of a deal.
He's not that important, but let's look at what we do have. Let's look at some facts. So Lloyd Austin did make some remarks about Ukraine not totally winning back in early December, right? There was this big stink about that when he met with Zelensky. I'm pulling up articles on it to make sure I don't tell it wrong. But yeah, November 20th, there's a scene in an article that Austin makes a surprise visit to Kiev to engage in high-level talks with Ukrainian leadership. I think that's where he was saying, look, you guys aren't winning. You know, so there could be something to maybe them trying to get him out of the way. There's one theory, them being the people, you know, that we're talking about pulling the strings here. Hey, this guy's not, you know, fully on board with the Ukraine agenda. Let's move him on out of the way. There's that. Or he could have been killed, and they're scrambling to cover it up. Because another bizarre thing, going back to the original CNN article on Lloyd Austin having prostate cancer, the chief of staff, so Ryder was telling the press that the chief of staff, Austin's chief of staff, was the person who failed to notify officials. And the reason he failed was because he had the flu. Again, if you're a chief of staff, any position in any branch of the military, all the way down to the staff sergeant in charge of maintenance, turning wrenches, you're going to have a second in command. You're going to have someone to replace you if you get sick or injured. And so if the chief of staff had the flu and couldn't do his job.
Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, throw it a turn. Things that really matter, and the chances you earn.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Down to the staff sergeant in charge of maintenance, turning wrenches, you're going to have a second in command. You're going to have someone to replace you if you get sick or injured. And so if the chief of staff had the flu and couldn't do his job, someone else would have stepped in. That's protocol. Again, another bizarre thing here. I'm thinking there's something fishy going on and there's some kind of cover up. I'm not willing to say what it is, but it's just bizarre. This guy goes into a medical procedure for 3 days before Christmas, where he would have been put under anesthesia. But then in the 8 days he went back to Walter Reed, he wasn't under anesthesia. They said they were just observing him. So he could have done his job from the hospital in those 8 days. But for those 3 days of the prostatectomy, he had to have been put under, which means we didn't have a defense secretary for three days.
Yeah. So, okay. Here are some possibilities, and I don't know what happened, but a possibility, if he had gone on an unannounced trip to Kiev and had been killed, they would be scrambling. Yeah. If he resurfaces, then that's out. But, you know, the body double stuff, body doubles, there is, like, Stalin famously had body doubles, but what was he using them for? He wasn't using them for press conferences, because he didn't have press conferences. He was using them for going out onto the balcony of the Kremlin and waving at people very far away, right?
So you weren't seeing up close. Hillary, now on 9/11, on September 11th, 2016, she went to some commemorative service or ceremony in New York, got like heat stroke and collapsed, and they had to pour her into a vehicle and drive her away, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, everybody was wondering about her health. She was running for president, and she had just collapsed, and there was all these rumors about her health. And then there was some woman in sunglasses walked from the building that she had been taken to into a limousine and taken away. That likely was a body double. You didn't really get a good view of her face, and maybe they had taken Hillary out of a back door. That type of thing I can buy. But going appearing right now, we have high definition TV. You've got people like Rich Little or these people on Saturday Night Live. What's the guy's name? Who did really good impressions, but not that good, right? People have been trying to do impressions. Actors have been trying to do impressions for thousands of years. And you can't just get somebody to look like Putin and sound like Putin and answer questions like Putin. You just can't do it. That's not reasonable.
Yeah. I'm more talking about, I think this is me on record. I think it's very possible, and you can vehemently disagree. I think it's very possible to have body doubles of Clinton, Hillary, Bill, and Biden, simply because they've been in politics for so long, they keep resurfacing in various important positions. And with all those decades of the technology we have now, I think it's very possible. Could they withstand scrutiny in a debate with cameras on them? I don't know, but I think it's very possible to have body doubles. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, and I think we're coming up towards the end of the show. What do you say?
That is the end of the show, and I say this has been one classy show. Amidst all of the conspiracy and weird stuff that we've had to report on, I want you to keep it classy, my friend.
I'm getting good at it.
All right. And you all stay tuned for tomorrow's show, a second part of Patrick and Jeremy on the Bugle, 12 noon Central. We got to change that commercial, guy.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.